welcome to a Different Corner podcast, the only fantasy football podcast with a strange George Michael slant. Yep, wham, freedom, faith, that's George Michael. We found a niche and we ran with it. And I say we because, as always, I'm joined by my dear friend, Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, how are you?
Well, I'm lost for words for once because...
Why are you lost for words?
Because I'm so conservative when it comes to, with a small c, with so many things in life, but I went a bit crazy at the weekend. But it's interesting what you said before when you said wham, freedom and faith, because that describes, those adjectives describe fantasy football down to a T.
In particular, your game week. But before we get into all of that, I want to just talk about another 90s icon, not just George Michael, who we're missing nowadays, but Chandler Bing, Lumen. Matthew Perry, one of our friends, has left us. Now, I'm only bringing... It's a fantasy football podcast. Why are we talking about this? But I just think of people of our age, of our generation, even if you didn't watch Friends, you knew who this character was and who this icon was, and definitely knew what the TV series was. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I just think it affects people of our kind of general, and probably people who would listen to this, kind of people of our age, really.
It's a funny old thing when it comes to death, where it impacts people in different ways. When it's someone who's relatively young, it just reminds you that, you know, it is very morbid to think about death, but, you know, it gives people time to reflect, not just on what they're doing now and what they're hoping to do in the future, but, you know, the past and how special individuals and moments and TV shows, etc., have shaped us. And Chandler Bing, for some people, was the funniest out of the lot. Everyone's got their favourite.
Who was yours?
Probably Chandler. Chandler Bing was more laugh with him, with his sarcasm and his delivery. So I think I
learnt about sarcasm just through Chandler Bing. I'm a big fan of Friends. Like, even if it comes on now, I'd still watch it. I don't know how many repeats of the show I've watched. But yeah, I was kind of hit by it because it's like one of those guys from our era who's gone. And I feel like we're going to feel this a lot more with footballers, right? Like, I know there are certain footballers that when they, or even managers even, that when they pass, ooh, it's going to hit. But yeah. But let's move on to what the whole podcast is actually about. And it's about fantasy football. And I said, wham, freedom and faith. And that sums up fantasy football, but also sums up your game week, Lumen, because you went wham with a wild card. You went free. You just went free spending, in kind of. And then you were desperately faithful. And I'm not sure if it necessarily came to fruition. Tell us about your game week, Lumen. Tell us about your wild card move.
Okay, right. That age-old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? That's the age-old adage. And it wasn't broke for me, and I was trying to fix something that wasn't broken. But the one man who made me do it was Ollie Watkins.
You performed wholesale surgery on... No, that's unfair. That's unfair because you still had a lot of your midfield. I think maybe up front, obviously, you made big changes. At the back, you made some changes.
Yeah, so this is what happened. I tipped Ollie Watkins to go on a run, but I didn't have him in my team and he was getting points. And it got to a stage where it's like, even though I was doing well every week, people were doing better than me because of Ollie Watkins. So my thought was getting Ollie Watkins in. But in getting Ollie Watkins in, I lost the balance that the rest of my team had. Mm. Now, it wasn't just Ollie Watkins that I got in. The other big player that I got in was Saka. And those are the two main changes that I had in terms of getting changes in my wildcard. The rest of the changes were to do with cheap signings just so I could get those players in. So, you know, Turner, cheap goalkeeper, Nakamba, cheap midfielder, Taylor, cheap defender. But in doing that, I lost the balance of my team. And why that's important is that I got a 65-point week this week, which might sound good on paper, but the average was 66 points.
You've not actually been below the average this season, have you?
No.
But, this is the first week.
But what's interesting is, if I hadn't done my wild card, the two changes to the team that I've got here, I had Mark Gueye in. Instead of him, I would have had William Saliba. And the other change would have been, without Watkins, I would have had, I would have played two strikers, and I would have had Moussa Diaby in, who I dropped. So that's 14 points. I would have ended up on 79 points if I hadn't made any changes. So I've lost the balance. So what I've done is I've basically rolled the dice, forgotten the principles that got me where I am, and just gone big for an all-star midfielder and an all-star attack. And my defence and goalkeeper is just... I mean, my defence was never, top-notch, but at least Saliba was consistently getting me points. But yeah, I've rolled the dice in some might say, a crazy way.
It was a crazy way because I looked at you getting rid of Saliba at home to Sheffield United and I thought, I wasn't sure about that. I could understand, and this is the thing I understand about Ollie Watkins. He's at home to Luton. Like, as a minimum, an assist because he's just been scoring returns every week. And this is the one week he doesn't do it. Diaby is an interesting one that you've got rid of him just to get Watkins in. I think Diaby is almost a second striker there, isn't he? He's almost like a 10 there.
He's
in and around there. And I couldn't quite make sense of it. And now I look at your team and it looks like you've got a strong 11 and then your bench is really weak. Whereas I felt like you had a bit more of a squad depth.
100%. And in certain weeks, I had like 20 points on the bench.
Right.
And that's all gone now.
Mm. And 65 isn't a bad score. It's one below the average. The average was 66. And so in that way, it's bad. When you put it into perspective, it's a bad game week. But I'm looking at your mini leagues here, mate. You're first in every one barring one. So, and even in that one, you went up. So not bad still.
I can't complain. But, I mean, you mentioned luck. Did you feel like a pinnock putting him on the bench or were you...
Very good, Lumen. Lumen, when we talk about fantasy football and how much luck you need, I rode all of that this week because I went big on Chelsea. I had the goalkeeper and I had Malo Gusto. And I thought, Chelsea put some results together here. And Brentford, I think, have been pretty bad this season. But all of a sudden, have put a couple of good results together. They should have beat Man United. They won the following week. And I thought, I don't see it. I think Chelsea, Thiago Silva, they've got them down. And then they get turned over. And I think, oh, sugar. So I lost points, obviously, at the goalkeeper. But who did I put as my third sub? My third sub was Ethan Pinnock at Brentford. Malo Gusto didn't play. Botman was my first or second sub. I can't remember. Doku was my midfielder, but a midfielder can't come on for a defender when you've only got three defenders to play. So somehow I managed to get a goal and a clean sheet and three bonus points from Ethan Pinnock. And that's pretty much only what separated us, really, because I ended up on 71 thanks to that bit of fortune. Elsewhere, I had Tsimikas at Liverpool, another clean sheet, by the way. I captained Salah. We'll get onto the Haaland Salah thing in a minute. I had Saka, and then the rest were twos, really. So a captain got me points, Haaland got me points, and Pinnock got me points, really. And all last week, Lumen, we were discussing Haaland captaincy, Haaland possibly out of your team. You've got to go Salah or even Watkins this week. I went Salah, got 16. We were both very lucky, and all Salah owners were lucky that he crept a goal in to make it three at the weekend. But then Haaland bags 16 points. If we captained him, that's 32. All this talk about Haaland dropping him even just goes down the bin.
Just for this week, I did consider early on before doing my wildcard, Watkins for Haaland. For me, it was almost like a no-brainer. But then I didn't watch it, but when you hear that United needed a penalty save from Onana to win the Champions League game against Copenhagen, you know they're bad. You know that even in like their wildest dreams, they can't do one of those performances where they pull a rabbit out of the hat. And you just say to yourself, you know what, Haaland's going to do something. Now, you know, whether that was something was going to be more than making Salah captain, I don't know, because that was an obvious one at home and everyone did it. And everyone was mighty relieved if you saw the goal, when you saw the, you know, saw what the goalie and the defender did, you know, it was like brilliant. But otherwise, that was going to be no points for Salah.
I know. A rare blank it would have been, but thankfully he came through. But Haaland, I don't know how we were even... I say how were we even questioning him. He's been spotty this season. But then, you know, I think of his dad. And I think he's playing Man United. If anything, he every time, surely, he goes on the pitch against Man U, he's got that extra fire in him, hasn't he? I don't know. What do you think?
I was going to do a non-politically correct joke just now, but I don't know if it would have been suitable. But what the heck, right? I think, like his dad, he caught a break, but it's the right type of break against United. He found a team in form, out of form, and he took full advantage. He should have scored another one.
I suppose you have to approach certain games thinking about the player. We mentioned this last week, but actually this season, you really have to think about the opposition. It could be any player, but you have really... And Man United are not good. I don't know what's happening going forward for them. McTominay seems like the only one who can maybe even do something. What does that say about them? What has happened to Marcus Rashford?
I can't believe people have kept faith with Rashford and with Bruno Fernandes. It gobsmacks me that people still have those guys in their team.
Yeah, and then going backwards, I mean, they were never going to keep a clean sheet against City anyway, but at the back, I mean, he's getting a bit of a bit more love now, but Harry Maguire at Man United, like, what? I know they've got a few injury problems as well. And then you've got in the midfield, they just nowhere in their team. I don't trust their goalkeeper, although I had an honour at the start of the season for a long time. There's just nothing there on the pitch that suggests that they could do anything. So I don't know why we were even thinking, questioning Haaland. And let me read this stat to you then. So in three appearances then, I think, in the Premier League against Man City, Haaland has got 5 goals and 3 assists against Man United. We shouldn't have questioned it, should we?
No. But what I will say is United are terrible at the moment. But providing those injured players come back and they don't have any other major injuries, I would start considering those players a few months down the line.
Is that just checking, is that a tongue in your cheek? Is that your tongue firmly in your cheek?
No, I'm being serious. That's...
You are not being serious.
I am being serious. If there's a whiff of United going on a run after those players coming back, their values will have dropped by then as well.
I really like Marcus Rashford, right? And I just think he goes on too many of these great spells and then just horrible dips in form. I suppose he's the only one who I would think when he gets into form, I would look at getting in. But that we're no way near there. But talking about Haaland, it was a good week for your classic number nines this week. Eddie Nketiah at Arsenal, a hat-trick and a very good hat-trick against the poor Sheffield United team. Callum Wilson, the guy that has caused you nightmares in the past. Dominic Calvert-Lewin at Everton bagged a goal. Evan Ferguson bagged a goal. Even Nunez at Liverpool. It was a good week for your classic nines. Are you considering any of them? And I'm particularly thinking about the Magpie, especially with, I didn't realise Isak was out. Are you considering any of these?
I've rolled my dice. I've done my wild card. I've got my strikers. That's it. You know, Watkins, Alvarez. Watkins, Alvarez, Haaland. Watkins, you talk about a good week for number nines. I mean, before this week, Ollie Watkins had one blank game week. And the week that I do my wild card, at home to arguably the worst team in the league, along with Sheffield United, and look what happens. It was bad for me. I needed him to pull something out of the bag just to justify the wild card, but I bought him in as a long-term thing. So, you know, the interesting thing is you sent me a message about using this game week as a wait and see. And I was doing the same thing initially because the fixtures were so favourable and I would have got 79 points. It would have been fine. But I was thinking long-term and I was thinking about all the prices going up. If you tried to do the same exact same team as I did, I've got, you wouldn't be able to do it because you can't afford them. Yeah. So even it's interesting because even if I did my wild card on Saturday, I wouldn't have or Friday, I wouldn't have this team. And that's because Saka's price went up by that 0.1 million. So I was thinking long term, but in terms of number nines, I mean, maybe from next season, I'm just going to have Callum Wilson from the start as my first, like my first name on the team sheet and just have him in the team. Even if he's out the team for like 37 games of the season, I'll just keep him in for that one game. Honestly, this guy is a goal machine. He's a goal machine.
The guy's goal to minutes numbers are really strong. I just didn't understand why he wasn't getting the minutes. He was coming off the bench every now and again, and now Isak is out. And that is surely, he's a starter now. So for me, of all the number nines, I mean, I like Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but Everton are really bad. But if they're turning around, he's turning around for them. And with Decore around him, I actually think he could score a few goals and get them out of the trouble that they're in. But I do like Callum Wilson, and he's the one for me that I'm looking for. But the problem is their fixtures aren't particularly favourable. They've got Arsenal next, but it's at home. It is at home. After that, though, well, no, actually, I say not favourable. After that, they're away to Bournemouth, home to Chelsea, home to Man United, away to Everton, and then away to Spurs after that. They're actually not bad. They're not bad fixtures. And so I'm now talked myself into it. I'm looking at trying to find space for Callum Wilson there. It does mean dropping one of Haaland, Alvarez or Watkins for me. I'll drop Alvarez, but I don't know if I've got the funds for how much is Callum Wilson? That is the question. Let's have a look. How much is Callum Wilson is 7.8 and Alvarez is 7 and I'm out of money. So I've got problems. The maths doesn't add up there, Lumen. But I do have, my policy this week was sit and assess. And that was a line taken from Don't Look Up, the Leonardo DiCaprio Netflix climate kind of movie. And it was superb, by the way. Really good movie.
Do you think he was an AILF then?
Astronaut, I'd like to. I mean, it's DiCaprio, mate. So, yes, he absolutely is. It just progressively gets better looking as the movie went on as well. And also, you know what the best part? It was all a superb movie. Was it the general who made them pay for snacks.
Yeah.
And every now and again, Jennifer Lawrence's character just goes, why did he make his pet? Like, it's such a funny part. Every now and again, it just pops up. She just can't get it out of her head. It's a brilliant movie. But yeah, my policy this week was sit and assess. And I didn't do anything this week. It kind of paid dividends because I got 71. But it does give me 2 transfers this coming game week to play with. Somehow I've got to try and... I don't know if this week I want to try and crowbar Callum Wilson in at home to Arsenal. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, if we're talking about strikers, right? And you mentioned all of these strikers. I'd like to talk about someone who's not down as a striker, who is playing as a striker.
Who's that?
That Korean guy. Not that Korean guy, the other Korean guy.
The other Korean guy, of course. The other Korean guy. Sonny. So I read a stat the other day that he scored as many goals now as Sadio Mane in the Premier League. And when you think of how impactful Mane was, wow, like, they're incredible numbers. Yes, to answer your question, Son is very much on my radar. It's just about fitting him in, though, because he's even more. What is he, 9 million?
No. He started off at 9. He started off at 9. He's at 9.6.
And then you look at his fixtures, Chelsea at home next, Wolves away, Villa at home, Man City away. That's going to be an interesting one for Spurs, by the way. That is an interesting little test. That's
the gauntlet. That is
a
gauntlet.
Yeah, it's a challenging one. But you're right. He is basically playing as a number 9. He got another double-figure return this past weekend against Crystal Palace. I bet you were kicking yourself when they conceded in the, 90-something minute as well. You would have got another 6 from Van de Ven. Yeah.
Van de Ven. But... I mean, on the subject of clean sheets, we mentioned Luca Dean last game week. And I said, are you happy with him? And you're like, oh, you know, I'd get cash in, but I don't want to copy you. So Newcastle, Villa aren't keeping clean sheets, but cash. Cash got the points.
He got the points.
He got subbed.
He got subbed at what minute? 70-something minute.
78 minutes,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, goodness. So he did take points still. Yeah, I was a bit gutted about that one because home to Luton. And the way, did you see the goal they conceded? It looped off. I think the striker headed it towards goal, hit the bar, came off the bar, hit Emilio Martinez on the head, and rolled in the goal. He did that against us.
So are you going to keep him? Are you going to keep Luca Dean?
You know what? Let me read this stat out to you. Aston Villa have only got 2 clean sheets this season. For a team that we're bigging up as having a very strong season, they keep conceding goals. However, they keep conceding just 1 goal. And this is the problem. They keep conceding 1 goal. They've conceded 5 against Villa and they've conceded 3 against Liverpool. So, sorry, 5 against Newcastle and 3 against Liverpool. And the rest, they've only conceded 1 in each other game apart from 2 clean sheets. That's mad.
The dilemma for you is not clean sheets. The dilemma for you is Luca Dean is not producing going forward the same way that Matty Cash has been.
Absolutely.
And that's the issue. Yeah. And then you have to ask yourself, how long am I going to put up with that?
So
that's a decision for you.
Absolutely. And the issue is, I look at their next 2 fixtures and it's Forest away and Fulham at home. And I think, oh, just keep him in. It's a transfer out. It would be an unnecessary one for me where I feel like there are others like Botman, who's now got a red. He went from a yellow to like a pink to now a red. And it's now injury expected 11th of November. And it says a knee injury. And I'm never too optimistic when it's something like that, when it's like muscular and a knee injury. I'm actually thinking maybe Lascelles might be a good and cheap alternative there. You still get a Newcastle defender in, so that I've got other issues apart from Luca Dean at the minute. I want to go move on to another team that who's kind of turned a corner. I think they had 1 win in the first, I don't know, 6-7 games, and now all of a sudden have put a few results together. Are we and should we be looking back at Brentford and bringing back the old Brian Mbeumo, who we all had in, shipped out. Are we bringing him back in?
He's in that pot of midfielders, the pot that I keep talking about, the pot that produces. That's what I like to call it, the pot that produces. So, Pedro Neto, again, assist, right? Diaby, again, you know, produced, right? Maddison was in that pot, but he's gone more expensive, right? But there's that pot of mid-priced midfielders, low to mid-priced midfielders, and Mbeumo is in that pot again. He was out of the pot, he's gone back into that pot. And, you know, double game week returns. I mean, it's insane, his level of production.
14 and 13 in his last two. Unbelievable. 14. But before that, it was really spotty. Twos and ones, the odd eight. And he started well with 7 and 16. So he is a good player. It's just whether Brentford are good. And I think, well, they should have beat Man United. Then they comprehensively beat Burnley and Chelsea. You know, the problem is they got West Ham next and then Liverpool and then Arsenal. So the next three fixtures are not favourable for them.
Yeah, but West Ham, you know, they lost. So maybe, but he goes back into the pot for now. And you think about it, but we talk about the fixture list, and it's so important for me, and we'll go on to why when we're discussing next week. But, you know, there's certain teams, they're just so bad. Sheffield United, Luton, you know, they're going down. Burnley, they're going down. Like, yeah, they're going down, and it's very predictable. But even top four, I mean, I'd be very surprised if Man City and Arsenal are nailed on for me. Mm-hmm. I think Liverpool and Spurs, we'll have to see. I mean, they've had great starts to the season, but it is a long season. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, there's teams outside the top four, you know, the likes of Brighton, Villa and Newcastle, who are having good seasons. Chelsea and Man United, they're both in the same bucket in terms of, like, just not being their season. So I think it's already shaping up that way, where you've got a top four, but with three challengers, and two of the traditional top six are just not there.
From fantasy wise, I feel like it makes a predictable season is good for fantasy, because you know who not to get in, and you know which teams to invest in. So from fantasy wise, it is, predictability is good, I think. And I'm wondering whether it's his most predictable season. Yeah.
So then if we're talking about predictability, if you've got Aston Villa at home to Luton, do you pick Ollie Watkins?
You do, Lumen, but this is football, right? This is just the luck on the day. And that's the thing. Part of my thinking when I do that sort of move and not captain him, for example, is I think about, and this is terrible, I don't know Ollie Watkins, but I'm making a complete fan judgment here. Ollie Watkins has a lot of assists this season. I don't know if he has the same killer, I want to get on the goal sheet, the score sheet at the end of this 90. And if I'm not on it, I'm going to be furious with myself. I don't think he has that. Whereas I look at Mo Salah and I think he's annoyed if he's not on the score sheet. Every week he wants a goal. And I think he has, there are other players like that. I just don't think Ollie Watkins is, I think he thinks 3-0, brilliant. You know, and he's had a great season. It's not to say that he's any worse a player. I just don't think he has that Mardiness about him. Like, do you remember when Salah used to just not square it to Mane and he used to be in acres of space? It's purely because Salah wanted to score more goals, wanted to get on the goal, and that's why he's a perfect FPL player.
Well, that brings us nicely on to next week, because one of the reasons why I got Watkins in is obviously Luton. I thought he would feast, but he's got a kind run of fixtures for the next few weeks. one of the biggest things for me this season is captaincy and getting it right again. And I've not got it right. And this week, you've got the same three interesting choices that you had last week. So, Salah had a home game against Forest last week. He's got an away game against Luton. Watkins had a home game against Luton and he's got Forest away. So they flipped, right? Haaland's got a home game against Bournemouth.
I feel like it's a no-brainer between two, almost a no-brainer for one, really. It's, for me, I can't look past Haaland at home to Bournemouth. I mean, I just don't want to lose. That will be major FOMO. If I went big on Salah, away to... The thing is, Luton... I look at some of these promoted teams and I think if you're strong at home, at least you can try to grind something out. But they're not strong home or away, bless them. But then Bournemouth have just come off a win. Maybe they will...
They play very open.
They play too open.
That was their first win of the season.
Yeah, and it was just against Burnley. They only just scraped past them, didn't they?
But then when you think on paper, you know, that they're going to feast. So Haaland last game at home against Brighton, you know, dodgy defence.
It's got a banana skin written all over it. It does, but for me, it's just those two. I wouldn't say for Watkins away. Villa are very strong at home. I don't know if they're as good away. And Forest, you know, that they can score goals, and I'm not sure that's a give me.
The other big fantasy wild card move that I made was, I thought I can't not have Saka. The guy seems to be hitting the bullseye every week.
So here's the thing, which I didn't know you were too aware of. Saka is missed consistent, but he's not getting as many goals, but he's getting an assist pretty much each week. Every now and again, he'll pop up with a goal.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether you went in with that move thinking, okay, I'm just going to get consistent 5, 6 and maybe a 12 or 13, or whether you thought, oh no, this guy's getting double figures each week. Where was the thing?
Oh, the consistency. Okay,
because who did you get rid of for him?
Diaby.
Of course. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. I could see that. I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you have him? The only issue is we're away to Newcastle and that's a tough place to go.
If you want to win the league, these are the fixtures. But we both got Saka, so it's going to be interesting to see how he does. But honestly, like, this is my team now. The reason why it's my team is because I don't have a bench anymore. My bench is gone.
You are going 11 players, and it's them 11 players, and the rest can just sit there for the rest of the season, and you'll probably tinker in and out of one or two.
I've said to myself, let's see how this goes. And if it doesn't go well, I've got the money to go back to my previous approach.
Yeah, that's fair. You're in a good position there. And you're still, top 60,000th in the whole of FPL, guys. Let's not forget how good you've been up to now. I think maybe a freak week for you. We talked about game week 11. The rest of the fixtures are yucky, I would describe. Newcastle, Arsenal, ugh. If you probably got players in both those teams. Brentford and West Ham. West Ham going away. They also just lost at home. Like, which West Ham are we going to see?
Can we take a step back to Newcastle?
Go on.
What did I tell you last week about Trippier? I said it. He's too expensive and he's inconsistent. He might have two or three games where he kills it, but then he's just too expensive to. I'm not saying he won't do anything against Arsenal, but you're rolling the dice with him in terms of his cost.
Brentford, West Ham, Jared Bowen didn't do anything. Although I was watching the highlights, he did everything other than score, looks like it. He was quite unlucky, actually. Spurs, Chelsea. That is, you know, every week we're looking at Spurs like, can they? We went away to Crystal Palace, which is not easy at all. and they won 2-1. Everyone is just waiting for Spurs to be Spursy a little bit. In fact, let me read this. I got this stat, which I'm saying purely as an Arsenal fan here, because I'm getting worried, because they're now, what, 10 games unbeaten now. We're unbeaten still, but they are 10 games unbeaten, which is unheard of. The most points Spurs have ever won through 10 games in a Premier League season before this weekend was 23, a total they actually managed last season. Last season, they were only 3 points worse off this time last season. However, they capitulated in the second half of the season to finish eighth. This is from Opta, and Opta's words, not mine. Thank you very much. And I think we're all kind of like, are Spurs actually top four, even title challengers? Who are they? I think they are nailed on top four. I think they've shown enough. Maybe they're a Son injury away from it all falling apart, but I think they've just shown everywhere else that they're a strong outfit. The teams who haven't shown, I don't know, still don't know who they are this season. What are Chelsea? What are Man U? I'm kind of, what are Brighton still? I don't, like, at home to Fulham, I expect them to sweep them. So a few teams I'm still unsure of what they are.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. One of the players we haven't mentioned for Spurs is one that neither of us have had since the start of the season, is Maddison. Yeah.
I brought him in once. I think I brought him in on a free hit, that free hit week, and I got some returns from him. And actually, yeah, his numbers are worthy to get in. But let's...
An argument might be made that I should have got him instead of Saka.
An argument could be made for that, certainly. Let me just have a look at Maddison. In terms of consistency, yes, you're getting that. I don't think you're probably getting as big a goal threat, but you're getting a cheaper player. 8.1.
8.5. 8.1 and Saka's 8.6.
It's a bit of a toss-up, actually, between them, I would say. I think it's fixture-dependent on that one. And Spurs are at home to a Chelsea team who we don't know what they're doing. I mean, what are Chelsea doing this season? I have no idea. But, yeah.
What I will say is this. I've gone from a position where every week it's like, you know, I'm fairly confident I'm going to have a good week. And this is absurd, but I'm in a position now where, like, yikes. And I'm saying that with seven of the biggest FPL guns out there. I've got seven of the biggest. In fact, of my front seven, five of them are in the team of the year for most points. But even then, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Because of Watkins and what he did. And because Wilson, when I bought him in last year after his run, that's when he dropped off. So I just hope they don't drop off
now. You think you're jinxed. This is the problem, Lumen. You really believe in the curse of FPL here. Right, now, I've got a feature here, Lumen. My favourite George Michael song, this is a George Michael / Fantasy Football podcast, my favourite George Michael song is 1998's Outside. It has the best video, the funniest and best lyrics for me, and just classic George Michael. And the lyrics go, I think I'm done with the sofa. I think I'm done with the hall. I think I'm done with the kitchen table, baby. Now, I'm not asking you which player you want to take outside in any sexual way, but which do you want to take out of your team? Which player in your squad are you done with?
It's interesting because I think because I've done my wild card, there's not really much change. But
are you going to sit and assess now?
I am. I'm going to have to sit and assess. I've rolled the dice. I can't, you know, I've got no choice but to sit and assist. But if there was one, it'd be Mark Guehi, who I've only had for a week. And I'm seriously thinking about Kostas Tsimikas. But if his value goes up, then I can't have him in. So that's only the real one. But what about yourself? Who are you thinking of taking outside?
It's interesting you mentioned Crystal Palace there. I was looking at potentially getting Crystal Palace defender in, but I cannot bring myself to spend 5 million on Joachim Andersen.
But there's other options.
There are other options. I mean, he's just gets points and the bonuses for this team. Yeah. And their next fixtures aren't too bad. Burnley away, Everton home, Luton away. Not too bad. Crystal Palace, clean sheets, possibly. The guy I'm done with, I think, and I say this unfairly. I mean, in fact, there's two. Botman, but I feel bad for even saying it because he's injured. But I kind of am just losing value on a player who I don't know when's going to return. I think I'm done with Mitoma. And that pains me. Yeah, I think I am, though. It pains me because I really like him as a player. But he's just not doing it. He's not done it for now five games.
But do you think you'll cow-roo it if you drop it?
Oh, that was a crowbar. We're crowbarring that one in. I'm either done with him or I'm done with Doku, by the way. There's a few I'm done with, but they're home to Bournemouth, Man City, so it's hard to say I'm done with him. I think 6.5 is better, money better spent elsewhere. I mean, how much is Diaby, by the way? Can I get him in? Let's see. Moussa Diaby is 6.8. Sugar.
His value... You need to keep an eye on the values. I feel like that's one area where, for whatever reason, you know, one thing that I've always done is I've anticipated any player's values going up. And if I desperately want them, I don't wait. If you wait, you're not getting them in.
Well, let's all hope for goals everywhere, Lumen. Good luck to you. Get back on that green arrow. All our eggs are in your basket, Lumen. You're 60,000th. Whilst I want to beat you, I'm also superb, like just impressed with how high up in the whole 10 million players you are. So I'm kind of rooting for you here as well.
It's interesting because I've got 670 points. Mm. And the number one player in the world has got 765. So I'm 105 points off. Which
doesn't sound like a lot, but it doesn't sound like a lot, right?
Yeah, but I need if my big guns. I mean, I'm not expecting the best week, to be honest with you. Son at home to Chelsea, Saka away to Newcastle. Those are big guns that I desperately need a Bowen performance. Mm. I mean, a Bowen special.
Bowen captaincy, Lumen, would be a differential.
It would, but I mean, it would be madness as well.
That would be
with Haaland, and Salah. But every week so far, I've been excited. This is because of the craziness of what I've done. I'm excited but nervous as well.
Well, on that note, it's squeaky bum time for Lumen. Thank you very much, Lumen. I'll speak to you after game week 11.
Looking forward to it.